Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You listeners and Rise to Win for our youth. My name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. It is my pleasure to be presenting to you today two very special ladies who are community leaders here in West Palm Beach. And as all of you know, my purpose with Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth is to raise awareness, to bring not just the awareness about what is taking place within our community, but also the awareness with community organizations and individual people who truly are giving of their hearts and their work to make a difference in youth. And with this program, the intention is to be able to link up with other community leaders and people around our nation to really bond together and make a difference. So today, our guests are Linda Norris, who is the president of the board of the Heart Gallery in Palm Beach County. We also have Linda Coffin, who is the Heart Gallery coordinator and the chairperson for community outreach. And what the Heart Gallery is an organization that volunteer-based organization who works with foster youth in Palm Beach County. And their project is something that is phenomenal, beautiful, and really speaks for itself. So right now I'd like to welcome both Lindas on Power to Be You and Rise to Win.
Thank you.
Hello, Lindas.
Hi.
Well, thank you very much. With having you both on the line, and both of you are named Linda.
Yes.
So that's funny. So I what I'd like to do is, if I may, begin with Linda Coffin. I met recently through the Florida Children's First organization, and through that she shared with me what the Heart Gallery was. So if both of you want to, present yourselves and just give us and the listeners a little bit of awareness about who you are and then what your organization does, please.
Sure. My name is Linda Norris, and I am the president of the Heart Gallery of Palm Beach County. We're a nonprofit, 501c3, and our goal and mission is to provide a moving gallery of all of those children in Palm Beach County that can be viewed by the general public, and it's more of an awareness type program where we just need to make the public aware of all of these children in Palm Beach County that are free for adoption and have been free for adoption for a while. Linda?
Yes, and Linda Coffin? Oh, let me just make sure. Linda?
Yes?
Is this Linda Coffin?
This is Linda Coffin.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
No, go right ahead. I think it was my mistake, but go ahead, please.
All right, great. The Heart Gallery was actually started in 2001 in New Mexico. There was a lady, Diane Granito, who was working with the foster children who teamed up with a photographer, and they decided that it would be extremely helpful to get professional photographs of these children out into the public so that people could actually see a little bit more into these children. They can look into their eyes. They can see a little bit more of their personalities through professional photography, which is before they just had whatever the caseworkers could get as pictures. And it has been so successful that now there are about 100 heart galleries throughout the United States, and there are 14 in Florida. And we have been in existence for about 2 years, going strong for about a year. And it really has shown that it helps get the word out that these children are available for adoption right here in our own county.
Now, when you mentioned it is a volunteer-based organization, so all of the people who basically the photographers and the people who are within these different organizations, 100 galleries across the nation, are they all on a volunteer basis?
There are some galleries that have grown so large that they do have employees. So they do have, the photographers are all volunteer, and the basis is volunteer, but some of the organizations have gotten people to back them, to sponsor them, big organizations or businesses within their community to back them. And that has been successful as well. In Palm Beach County, we've been totally volunteer-based. Again, all of our photographers are totally volunteers. And then the people who work with the gallery, there are a few of us, but we are mighty few that really get the gallery out there to the public. And it's been tremendous to see how the community has gotten involved. We are also growing, so we are also looking for more sponsors to get to back us, because we are able now to be in two and three places at one time. And since our county is so huge, that is very helpful. But it has been phenomenal to see how the community has hooked on to the idea and sees how important it is.
So would you be able to explain how the gallery itself works throughout the community to raise the awareness?
Linda, sure. You want to go ahead and answer that?
Okay, sure. Well, what we do is we take pictures of the children. It can be in any type of place, like outdoors, indoors. We try to get them doing things that they like to do. Some have basketball, soccer balls, whatever. They're out in playgrounds. And others we do in studios. So we take the portraits, and then a studio called Magic Image enlarges them for us at a very reduced price. We then take the portraits, and they're about 40 at a time on the gallery, and we take them to different venues. That this could be faith-based organizations. We've been in malls. We've been in shopping centers. We've been in school. We're at the school board right now, and we're at Safe Schools, which is a place where a lot of the teachers and the people involved in the schools go for conferences. We've been at the convention center. So we put the pictures on these 7-foot panels, and they're usually 2 fit on a panel, and we show them so that people can take time to look at them. We have what we call bio cards or takeaway cards that explains a little bit about the children, that people can actually take the cards home with them, because this is obviously not a decision that you make just in a split second. So that's how we do it, and we travel all over Palm Beach County. They fit in a minivan. There are 14 panels, so again, we can show about 40 pictures at a time.
And how long do they stay up at that particular venue?
We like for them to stay up for about a month. That's what we have found to be the most successful, because it gives people a chance to look at it a few times and to really absorb it. Then after that, you know, maybe 6 weeks, that's about the max. Then people, you know, look on and beyond it. But about 4 to 6 weeks is a terrific time to do that. But we will go to one-night events. If there's a special event where we know there are a lot of people that are going to be there, that are family people that are interested in this cause, then we have what we call the mini gallery, and we set up for any situation like that as well.
And out of all of these different presentations that you've had, is there a specific number of maybe children that might find a suitable home?
We've been very instrumental in being able to find or get the families involved, or to get them interested in these children. And they can contact us through either our website or our voicemail. And by doing that, then we can respond to whatever questions they might have about the children on the gallery. In other words, if there's one child that specifically they're interested in, we can give them the information as to whether or not that child, that particular child, is still available and whether home studies are still being accepted for those children. And as a result of that, Sandra, it appears that we've been able, for example, in the past year, possibly up to 13 to 15 children off of the gallery have found their forever homes. So we're having great luck in doing that. Now, that's not to say that every family that calls in who sees a particular child will necessarily end up with that child, but they can give us the kind of information, the criteria they're looking for in a child. And if we have information or background information on that child that isn't really conducive to what they're looking for as far as expanding their families, then we also have the availability to that information and can make recommendations and suggest other galleries or other children on the gallery that might suit their home better.
Well, I will tell you, I actually was, and I keep on mentioning the church, Christ Fellowship Church. I was there 2 weeks ago, and I did come across the gallery itself, and I was just taken because the pictures were beautiful. And what really took me was looking at the, how did you call it before, at the area where you, your, the description.
The bio card.
And I read one that immediately brought tears to my eyes because, you know, for me, my pain comes from just looking at so many children who, you know, whom we want to just help so that they can have a normal life, a loving life. And you use the words forever home, which is, it's, you know, beautiful to say that they will be able to find a home that can, that can be with them for, you know, while they grow. And, you know, I mean, I love what you do, and I think that really it's such a great avenue through which people can become exposed to this. Now, what would you say on a total as far as foster youth here in West Palm Beach? Is there a specific number of foster youth who are looking for homes?
Well, at any given time, there are a number of children that will eventually be looking for forever homes. They, those that are on the gallery are actually the children that are now available for adoption. However, in foster care, there are over 300 children. Now, that could mean that those foster children are in foster homes waiting for a determination by the court as to their future status, or they could be in relative care, which means that the relatives that have custody and control of them will end up adopting, or they may not. They may go back into the foster care system and ultimately end up on the gallery. And, of course, we would assist in attempting to find those forever homes. But obviously, we do always try to reach out to family members before those children are placed on the gallery. We always try to go to relatives first as an as the first option of adoption.
Now, let me ask you, from the child's perspective, how do they feel when they are on, you know, are their hopes up? Do they feel that, are they open to doing it? You know, do they realize that maybe they might not find a forever home? Or how do they relate to that?
Well, I think the first thing I have to say is these children that are on the gallery have expressed an interest in finding a forever family. Mm-hmm. They want to be adopted. And, of course, there are those younger children on the gallery where I'm not sure that they understand the total crux of the behind the scenes, what's happened to my mom, what's happened to my dad. But they understand that their parents, or biological parents, are no longer in the picture. And so even though they might not express it, they have been counseled, and it has been a discussion with either their case manager or a therapist to, you know, let them know what the goal is for them.
So in essence, their hopes are up. In the same sense, they're aware that there's a possibility at the same place that they might not find a home.
Well, yes, I mean, in essence, but you know what, Sandra, what we do is, and I'm not speaking from the Heart Gallery at this point, I'm speaking from the point of the Foster Children's Project, which is my day job, and we work with all of the foster children up to age 12 that come into licensed care, and so I have a little more knowledge of those children in foster care, and basically, if a child, let's say at the age of 13, has decided for one traumatic experience in their life or numerous that they don't want to be adopted, that they're immediately put into a program or start or are referred to the Road to Independent Living program. Mm. So that we're not forcing them to do something they're not comfortable with doing. And there are a number of teenagers that have tried the route of adoption. It didn't work. And so now they're in the program that's called Road to Independent Living, where they are completing classes and therapy and informational guidelines that will get them to their own independent life.
And at what age does that begin?
That starts at age 13.
Oh, it starts at age 13. Okay,
yes.
And so you mentioned the Foster Children's Project. That's another organization within the foster care?
Yes, it is. The Foster Children's Project was started in 2001 when it became apparent that everyone that was showing up in court was represented by an attorney except the children. Mm-hmm. And we were then commissioned by our Children's Services Council to be advocates for these children legally. And so we, in 2001, started as attorneys for these children, and we initially started out from age 0 to age 4, and now it's expanded to children through the age of 12. And so we have attorneys that represent every child that comes into licensed care so that they are represented in court. And we work alongside with the Guardian Ad Litem Program, who is the program that is there for their best interest. And we are there for their legal interest.
Okay, and what is the difference between the best interest and the legal interest?
Well, the best interest could be, for example, we could have a child who absolutely, positively wants to go home, regardless of the situation from which they were removed. If that's the case, even though their legal interest is that they should not return to that home, the best interest, because that's what they want and they're able to express that and understand, then the best interest is handled by the guardian's office, and they are reporting to the judge that this child understands the home life situation, but that child would rather go home rather than not go home. So legally, you know, we could advocate that child not go home, but if that child is safe and the conditions under which he was removed are not harmful to that child, and the child wants to go home, then we have to do what the child wants, even though legally we would not necessarily advocate for that child to go home.
Okay, so what would you say for the public and to raise awareness about just the whole foster care system? What can people do when people want to help? Where would people best fit if they want to come out and be there for children?
Linda, you want to?
No, I believe Linda is right now off the call, and I'm looking at the switchboard now. So yes, she is.
Oh, okay. Well, where can they call? They can, depending on what it is they're actually interested in doing, as far as the foster care program itself. If they want to be a mentor, if they want to be part of the Guardian program, if they want to, there's just a number of programs out there that anybody could make contact with. If they're interested in adoption, fostering, it just depends on what they're looking for as to where they need to go.
Now, let me ask you, when you mentioned adoption and fostering, how, for a person that would like to take in a child and say, okay, look, we hear so many stories from the public of how difficult it is, and people even leave our country to go get children from another country. While we have so many children in need, you know, in our communities, how difficult is the process? What do people need in order to qualify as a foster parent?
Okay. There is what is called a MAPP class, M-A-P-P, and it stands for Model Approach to Partnership in Parenting. And that's a 10-week class that's held one night a week for 3 hours for 10 weeks. That program is designed to assist people who are interested in fostering or adopting in understanding what the children are faced with in the process, I guess. I mean, there are so many scenarios these kids come to the table with that we need to alert the general public that these are not going to be the children that don't come to the table without issues. There are issues. And any time a child is removed from a biological home or a parent, there are going to be issues. And this MAP program is designed to give more or less the worst case scenarios of what you could be faced with when taking in, fostering, or adopting these children. At the end of the 10-week class, they are given a license to foster or adopt, depending on which program they're referred to. And we do understand that when people, let's say, go into the MAP class for fostering and they realize that there are no guarantees that once they foster a child that they would end up adopting that child, there are a lot of families out there that cannot do that. They cannot invest their heart into a child that they may not end up officially adopting. So if they find that fostering is not that avenue they want to go down, even though they can continue taking the class and getting their license and home study, the case will be referred to then what is called the adoption agency, and that would be either Children's Home Society or Place of Hope. They are the two licensing agencies in Palm Beach County for adoption. There are a number of other programs out there that are just the fostering programs, and they offer the MAP classes, and vice versa. If you're taking a class at the adoption facilities and you realize, well, you know, there's not a lot of options as far as having smaller children, and your best bet is to possibly take that chance of fostering with the goal of adoption, you know, then that the cases from the adoption agencies will be transferred to the foster to adopt agencies. So that's the best way to describe it. But basically, they must be licensed, and they must have a positive home study in order to bring a child into their home, either foster or adoption.
Okay, great. And now I believe we have Linda. Linda, are you back on the line?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. Sorry about that.
Great. No, welcome. We're actually just discussing if a parent or a family would like to adopt or would like to foster, what is actually required of these parents. You know, I mean, from my perspective, I kind of see that if all of us were willing to open up our homes and we're willing to undergo the MAP class, we could at least give a light in a child's path, so that they can see that, you know, that there is hope and that there are people out there who love them. What would you say these children need most, these foster kids that you meet, irrespective of the ages? What do you think? Is there a common consensus as to what it is that we can do for them, even at an earlier age? What are your suggestions for knowing that you're involved in this and that you want to make a difference?
Well, from my perspective, Sandra, I see that these children need consistent love, attention, guidance, and just as normal as anything can be, home life. That's all these children want. They just want to know that somebody cares for them, that they are being watched and guided, and they want hugs and kisses and recognition.
Okay. Yeah, and that comes to mind because I recently went, just Thanksgiving, I went to the detention center, and out of 76 youth that were there, there were only 6 parents who showed up.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
You know, and I went there with a group of the Catholic diocese, the ministers, volunteers who went there, and these children, I happened to go into the girls' dorm, and they were just so thankful, and you could, you know, just by the words that they used, their mannerisms, you know, they put their hands on your shoulder, and they just got really close and smiled and said, thank you. Thank you for being here. You know, and it makes me seem that, you know, love is the one thing that will make a difference. And we, I think people go through a lot of wondering, you know, do I have what it takes? Can I make a difference? Oh, it seems like such a big deal. But I really want to emphasize that, you know, what, from your perspective, if people want to right now step up, what should they do? What
well,
should they do,
true,
whether it's helping the gallery or, you know, calling you or whatever it is that they can initiate on their own, what can people do?
I think they need to recognize first what it is they actually want to do. If they want to take in children, if they want to financially assist us in getting the word out that we are trying our best to keep updated pictures, updated bios, keep the gallery moving. That's a benefit to us financially. We need that assistance. We try everything we can to do it on a bare bones budget so that we don't ask for things that we're not, that we don't need or we personally would not handle on our own, because basically our board and myself, Linda Coffin, and Kitty Callen have been actually funding the gallery as best we can just to make sure that we keep these children's pictures out into the public. And so, of course, financing is very difficult now with the economy turned down, and everybody's feeling the crunch. We do everything we can to make sure that every dime that is donated to the Heart Gallery goes exactly to the gallery, and that's what they could do for us.
Okay, great. Now let's give your phone number as well as your website, please.
Linda?
The phone number is area code 561-697-5205. Again, that's 697-5205, and the website is www.heartgallerypbc.org. That's heartgallerypbc.org. And I like that one time my husband was helping us with the gallery, and he said, I don't want to talk. And of course, people started asking him questions. And he said, just do something. And I thought, that's awesome. Just do something. And so there's always something that you can do for these kids.
So in closing, what do you both see the direction of the Heart Gallery is? What would you like to see in the future?
Well, obviously, we do not want to see the gallery expand, because that would mean there's more foster children available for adoption. I think all of our goals, and we've talked about this before, our goal is to not have a gallery at all, because we don't want any children free for adoption. Mm. We want them all in a forever home. And that's our long-term goal, with the understanding that that might be unreachable, but it's something we certainly soar to achieve.
Okay, excellent. Just a couple of days ago, I spoke with Family Life Today, and they actually talked about a Heart Gallery as one of the endeavors to create awareness for the foster and the orphan youth in around the world. According to them, the statistics was that there's about 143 million orphans around the world. And, you know, I would probably venture to say more than that. But, you know, independently in the communities, what the churches are doing is creating their own foster home program. And it basically ranges from anything, you know, from any type of help to actually creating a home. And like you mentioned, Places of Hope and also the Children's Home Society. But I think that what you're doing is phenomenal. And like I mentioned, March 21st, I've moved the date from January 17th, but I will be having an event for 1,000 at-risk youth. But I look forward to being able to have the Heart Gallery there present, so that, you know, we're able to not only target the youth who are in need, but also bring awareness to the youth who now are within the home, you know, where they're at risk because they are living in a home, but they don't really realize what they have.
Right.
So I think this would be a great venue to realize, to get kids working for kids and kids supporting kids and kids loving kids. So I would just, it's tell you both, Lindas, that it has been a sincere honor to bring you both and just to thank you because your work, really, the Heart Gallery comes from the heart, and your work is beautiful, and I look so forward to working with you in the future and taking this and this awareness campaign across the nation. So thank you both, Lindas.
Thank you, Sandra.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the conclusion of Power to Be You and Rise to Win. Tune in tomorrow as I will continue featuring leaders and just people who really are walking the walk and making a difference in the lives of our youth. This is Sandra Bueno signing off.